Titus to do a study on the Holy Spirit. We ended our study a couple weeks ago with chapter 2. And if you want to go online, if you've missed any of those messages, you can go online and listen to them. If you want to review Titus during this break, you can do that online as well. You can either download them or you can listen to them right online if you're interested. Over the next 7 weeks, we will be looking at the Holy Spirit from two different perspectives. In the morning, we'll be taking a more theological look at the Holy Spirit. We'll be looking at who He is, what He does, His gifts, as well as some misconceptions about Him. In the evenings, we'll be looking at the Holy Spirit with more of a practical application emphasis. And you might be thinking, well, Pastor, what's the difference? Well, if you only have knowledge without application, then it never becomes more than just knowledge. Application helps biblical knowledge become a part of the fiber of your life. You that are in business and you've gone to these conferences and you get all this great material, what do they tell you? Well, to use it, but if you don't apply it within the first week you get back, guess what happens? You forget it. All this good stuff that you just spent thousands of dollars to get is gone because we don't apply it. Well, it's the same with God's Word. We can come to church and we can listen to great sermons on the radio, on the TV, but if it never becomes more than just information to us, it will never become a part of the fiber of your life. And why do we look at it from a theological look? Because, is there something on the screen? Well, I don't know what's going on today. There we go. Why do we want to look at it from a theological bent? Because this, application without biblical knowledge makes people believe and do things that are not biblical. Application without biblical knowledge makes people believe and do things that are not biblical. Let me just give you an example. Quick example this morning. My sense would be that if we asked everyone here today if church attendance and fellowship are important to living the Christian life, probably most people would say yes. Every one of us, I think, this morning would probably say that Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 is the inspired word of God. And it says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Yet, let me ask you this. How does what you believe line up with the decisions you are making concerning being in each other's life in order to motivate acts of love and good works? How is your being faithful to church attendance looking? And the reason I bring this up, because I just had this conversation with someone this week. And they came to me and said, Pastor, is it a sin if I don't want to come to church? Well, that was pretty transparent. What would you say if someone came to you and said that? Is it a sin not to want to come to church? Don says no. Okay, that's part of the temptation. What is the sin? Yeah, that's right. It's not a sin not to want to come. Was it a sin for Jesus not to want to go to the cross? No. Was it a sin for Jonah not to want to go to Nineveh? See, that's right. It's not a sin. It depends, as Tammy says, how you respond to that sin. Right? Well, you have consequences as well. That's right. We had consequences of Jesus' decision to go. Jonah had consequences for not going. But then when he did go, the whole city of Nineveh had consequences as well, good consequences. Well, then he said, Pastor, I felt so guilty because I didn't want to come. So I made up my mind that I was going to stay home that Sunday. But then they said to me, but then I remembered what God said about being faithful to church attendance. So I came. And you know what they said? Pastor, I was so glad that I came. See, the point is this. She knew what the Bible said about being faithful to the local church and being faithful to being in people's lives to motivate them to do good works. Even when she didn't feel like it. See, that's how knowledge with application works. Make sense? Well, it makes sense to me, all right? And I'm speaking, so I'm saying it makes sense. It does. What you really believe shows up in the decisions you make. Every time. Every time. If I say something's important to me, then you know what? Then I'm going to make sure, then I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure that I fulfill that. And it's the same in our spiritual life. So we want to have a balance between biblical knowledge and biblical application. So knowledge plus application is imperative if you and I are serious, truly serious about living out the Christian life. That is why I would encourage every one of you here this morning to attend our Bible study, The Forgotten God, tonight. Because we all need the component of application as well as theology. All right, who turned over my notes? All right. You know, if you're like me, you're going to need this study. For you see, if you're like me, you will struggle with the fact that prayer is not always your first response when it comes to making a decision. If you're like me, you have those days when at the end of the day, you still have those things that didn't get done, that needed to be done. Guess what? You've taken on things that the Holy Spirit never intended for you to take on for that day. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're living a life of stress. And you know that this lifestyle is not the result of living under the control of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're just tired of, and Lisa mentioned consequences. You're just tired of living out the consequences of bad choices. And you want to just start over and live out and start living out Galatians 5:16, which says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Galatians 5:16. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've just decided you're not coming because you don't need it. And believe me, I'm not being sarcastic when I say that. All right? Because I have people that come, I have people that God has brought into my life that truly walk with God. When their prayer, that their prayer is their first response in every decision they make. I have people that God has brought into my life that actually sense the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives on a daily basis. People that would walk into your life and know exactly what to say and exactly when to be quiet. So if you're one of those people that don't need the application part of the Holy Spirit because you are already living it out in your life, I would beg you to come as well so that you could help us that struggle with living under the control of the Holy Spirit, that you would help us to be able to live out our Christian life like you do. So I'd like to see you all here tonight. So, there's much to say. There's much to say about the Holy Spirit, not only in theology, but in application. So we're going to look at theology in the morning. We're going to look at application, more application at night. This morning, we want to look at the first part of our doctrinal statement concerning the Holy Spirit. And it says this: we believe in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, sent by God to convict and regenerate sinners, as well as to indwell, seal, guide, instruct, comfort, and empower believers for godly living and service. So what I want to do this morning is just try to start unpacking this first part of our doctrinal statement. And the first thing we want to look at, and let me just say this. Some of you don't take notes, but I would encourage you to take notes this morning because I'm going to give you a ton of information. And you're not going to remember it all because I did this study and I don't remember it all. All right? So I'd encourage you to write these things down because the things we're going to talk about are imperative if we're serious about walking with the Holy Spirit. So we believe, number one, in the triunity of God. The triunity of God. Triunity means three in one. And we believe that God is made up of three individuals. All right? Now, please understand this. God the Father is not God the Spirit. God the Spirit is not God the Son. And God the Son is not God the Father. They're three individuals with three different responsibilities. Now, that being said, even though they're three individuals, they're one God. You with me? Because this is imperative. You need to understand that the Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father is. Jesus Christ is as much God as the Holy Spirit is. That's what we call the triunity, or most of us call it the Trinity. Three individuals, but they make up one person. You understand it? Of course you don't. We can't. Let me give you a very weak illustration, and it breaks down as soon as I start saying it. I am a son, I am a father, and I am a husband. Three different responsibilities for one individual. It's the same with God. All right, this is what we believe. We believe that all of them are 100% God. Okay, now, not all churches will teach you this, but the Bible does, and we'll see this in our study. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is a person. They are a person. You know, many times when people talk about the Holy Spirit, sometimes they refer to him as some sort of force. Like, you know, when you're like Star Wars, may the force be with you. Well, he's more than a force. Some people see him as a dove, right? He's pictured as a dove because that's how the Bible describes him in one particular place. Some people see him as like a ghost, like Casper, you know, this friendly ghost that's always coming around you. Or some people even think of it as an eerie kind of spirit. Some believe that he's just a part of the Trinity that just does as he's told. And that's so far from the truth, and we'll see that today. Some people look at the Holy Spirit as just someone or something that just represents good. But you need to understand that the Holy Spirit is a real person, and he has real person characteristics. For an example, he has intelligence. He has intelligence. The Holy Spirit knows things. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And his Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. No one can know what anyone else is really thinking except that person alone. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11. So he has intelligence. He knows things. He also knows God's will for your life. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. He knows things, He knows God's will. And he also, because he has intelligence, he teaches us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. So he has intelligence. B, the Holy Spirit has feelings. Many times we don't think about that, but he has feelings. Matter of fact, the Bible says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Why do you think the Bible tells us not to do that? Because we can. All right? If we couldn't put out the Spirit's fire in our life, he would never tell us not to. Secondly, we can grieve him. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. He has intelligence. He has feelings. See, he has a will. He has a will. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. He has intelligence. He has feelings. He has a will. D, he guides us. He guides us. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. John 16, verse 13. He has intelligence. He has feelings. He has a will. He guides us. E, he convicts us. You'll never be convicted of anything apart from the Spirit of God. He convicts us. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor. Okay, that's just another name for the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at the different names of the Holy Spirit in our study. Unless I go, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. John chapter 16, verses 7 to 8. You with me? Because we're going on to F. He does miracles. He does miracles. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. It's believed by most biblical scholars that it's this eunuch that took the gospel to Africa. Can I remind each of us today? We have no idea what an impact that people have when we lead them to Christ. We don't. I mean, we don't know how many worlds will be changed every time we lead someone to Christ. It may not be a whole continent like Africa, but it could be saving a family. It could be saving friends. We have no idea. But he does miracles. G, he prays for us. Any of you need people praying for you? This pastor does. And he prays for us. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Do you think the Holy Spirit's passionate about you? Yeah, I think so. I think so. He prays for us. But also know this, H, he must be obeyed. He must be obeyed. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, Three men have come looking for you. Go down and go with them without hesitation. All is well, for I have sent them. So Peter went down and said, I am the man you are looking for. Why have you come? Acts chapter 10, verses 19 to 21. See, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you and I need to listen. It can either be that still small voice, which is imperative. That's why God says, be still. Because if we're not still, many times we'll miss the still small voice in the busyness of life. So it can either be that still small voice, or he could be yelling out in a storm like he did to Jonah. But he must be obeyed. He can be sinned against. He can be sinned against. Okay, I'm just waiting for everybody to get done writing. Here we go. He can be sinned against. Then Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourselves. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the ground and died. Acts chapter 5 and verse 35. Excuse me, chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. I'm sorry. Acts 5, verses 3 to 5. Two things about this verse. Well, really, three things. First of all, we can sin against the Holy Spirit. All right? Second thing about this verse. How would you use this verse to prove that the Holy Spirit and God were the same? Yeah. What does he say? First of all, he said, why did you lie to the... And then he says, why did you lie to God? Yeah. Great verse. If people, because there are people, I'm sure, in your life that will tell you that they're both not God. Well, this would be a great verse to tell them. The third thing you need to know about this verse. Many times when we think of the Holy Spirit and God's judgment, what do we think of? Old Testament, right? God just would zap people. Can I remind you this morning? This church is after the resurrection, and it's after Pentecost. And can I also remind you this morning that Paul writes to a local church in Corinth, and he says what? Some of you are sick, and some of you are asleep or dead. And why? Because of their sin. Because of their sin against the Holy Spirit and against God. So don't think that we can just kind of do what we want and because nothing happens immediately, that God doesn't notice, or that God doesn't care. Because he does. Old Testament and New Testament. J. He can be resisted. He can be resisted. You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? But your ancestors did, and so do you. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. He must be obeyed. He can be sinned against. He can be resisted. And K, he can be insulted. You and I can insult the Holy Spirit. Think how much more terrible the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant as if it were common and unholy. Such people have insulted and enraged the Holy Spirit, who brings God's mercy to his people. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. Obviously, we could go on and say other characteristics of being a person. In this verse, we see that he's very emotional, right? He's enraged because of the sin. So we've seen the triunity of God. We've seen that the Holy Spirit is a person. But thirdly, because the Holy Spirit is a person, A, he relates to others. Because the Holy Spirit is a person, he can relate to others. We see him relating to the apostles in the New Testament, where it says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these requirements." Acts 15, verse 28. Because he can relate to you, he will never give you more than you can bear. We also see him relating to Jesus. "He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me." Talking about the Holy Spirit. "All that the Father has is mine. This is what I believe when I say that the Spirit will reveal to you whatever he receives from me." John chapter 16, verses 14 to 15. So he relates to the apostles, he relates to Jesus, but he also relates to God and Jesus. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. "May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, "Wow, Pastor, I never realized that the Holy Spirit was so busy." Please understand this morning, because this is important. When you come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way, you don't just receive Jesus. You receive God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When we accept Christ as our Savior, God holds nothing back from us. He gives us his all. Everything he is comes in the form of the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. That's why Paul could say, "How we praise God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we belong to Christ." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And Dan, what would every spiritual blessing mean? That would be every. That's right. That's why Peter could write this. He says, "As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life." 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. So when God moves into your life, you don't get a piece of God. You get all of him. Now, how much you give up to him is another topic we'll talk at a different time. But when the Holy Spirit, there isn't pieces of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you don't like just get his arm or his leg or an ear. You get them all. You get everything that God has comes at the moment you are saved, the moment you are transformed. Or maybe you're here this morning and you just realized that how you choose to live your life really does affect the Holy Spirit's work. Maybe you realize that the reason you're not experiencing the all that Peter talks about is because of your lifestyle, because of your lack of biblical knowledge or biblical application. That the reason your life this morning, you may feel that your life stinks, or the reason it's such a struggle to live godly, is because maybe the Holy Spirit helped you realize this morning that your lifestyle is insulting to him. That you are making decisions that instead of submitting to him, you're not even listening to him. Maybe the reason you don't sense the Holy Spirit this morning directing your life is because you have quenched his fire, or your lifestyle is grieving him. Please understand that if you are not sensing the Holy Spirit working in your life, it is not because the Holy Spirit has ceased. If you are not sensing the Holy Spirit work in your life, it's more than likely that you have allowed your life to become full of yourself instead of full of the Holy Spirit. Just in case, and the way God's wired me, I have to do this anyway, but just in case you don't come tonight, let me just close quickly with some application. Because knowledge without application always becomes knowledge. Usually, our struggle, yours and mine, our struggle to live a godly life is only one of three reasons, usually. Number one reason we struggle to live a godly life is that we've never come to know Christ in a personal way. Maybe you've come to church since you were a kid. Maybe you know about God. Maybe you're memorizing the scripture every week, verbatim. Maybe you, like Tammy, maybe you're tithing. And maybe you're more than tithing. And from God's perspective, that means nothing if you don't know him in a personal way. See, the reason that maybe you're struggling is because you know about God. You had the head knowledge, but you never had the heart experience. You've never come to that place in your life where you realize that you are a wretch before God. Your heart is desperately wicked. And the only way that you can have a personal relationship with God is to come to that point in your life where you admit that you're a sinner. And you admit that your sins need to be forgiven. And you realize that God, Jesus Christ, the death, of burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only way that your sins can be paid for. See, you cannot live a life for God if there's no life in you. It's impossible. Matter of fact, John wrote it this way. He said, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So whoever has God's Son has life. Whoever does not have his Son does not have life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 12. One of the reasons people struggle to live a godly life is because they've never come into a personal relationship with God. Secondly, another reason that people struggle living a godly life is because God is trying to build their faith. God is trying to build their faith. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. God's will. That would be the Father's will. That would be the Son's will. That would be the Holy Spirit's will. It is God's will that we grow spiritually. See, God doesn't want us to remain as spiritual babies. God wants us to mature. And for most of us, including me, to mature, many times it takes difficulties in our life to make it happen. Job. A man that went through more difficulties in just a few minutes than I've gone through in 61 years of life. Yet, Job said this about his affliction. He said, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Job 42, verse 5. See, before his afflictions, he had heard about God. But through his afflictions, he saw God in a light that he had never seen him before. Matter of fact, James wrote this about Job. He said, we give great honor to those who endure under suffering. Job is an example of a man who endured patiently. From his experience, we see how the Lord's plan finally ended in good, for he is full of tenderness and mercy. James chapter 5, verse 11. Job experienced God in ways that he never experienced him before his troubles. And sometimes we struggle living the Christian life because God's trying to change us. your experiences, my experiences, life, the things that God allows into our life is God's way of trying to change you, to grow you. See, there's just something about difficult times that allows us to experience God in our own personal way, in ways that we've never experienced Him before. It is those hard times that we see God like we've never seen Him before. So, one of three things. One of the three reasons why many struggle to live a God life. Number one, they're trying to do it on their own. They don't have life living in them. Secondly, God is trying to build their faith, sanctify them, change them, grow them. Or thirdly is this. You've just walked away from Him. You've just walked away from Him. You have isolated yourself from godly people to help you, and you've isolated yourself from God in the daily decisions that you make. So let me just say this. If the Bible says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, can I tell you this? The opposite is just as true. Walk away from the Spirit, and you will gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Just the way it is. That's the way God has set it up. If you're struggling with your walk with God this morning, I'm not sure why you would be, but I'm pretty confident it's probably one of these three reasons. So if you're facing overwhelming odds today, if you think there is no solution to your life struggles, your problems, if all you can see is giants and obstacles in your life, if you're here this morning and you've lost the joy of your salvation, then I would encourage you to do what Paul encouraged the believers in the local church in Corinth to do. And that was this: examine yourself. Examine yourself to see if you are really saved. Examine yourself to see if God is doing a work in you so that you can have a clearer view of Him. Or examine yourself to see if you are resisting the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and have chosen instead to live in sin. Like the prodigal son's dad, God is waiting. And as soon as you take that turn to come to Him, He is ready to run to you and help you in your time of need. The Holy Spirit. Remember, when you come to Jesus, when you have a personal relationship with Him, you have everything that God has. Let's all stand this morning. We're going to close in a song entitled